This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we take a look back on Ned Farrington's anchor leg of the distance medley relay at the NCAA Championships, a mile run that propelled Bates to fourth in the country. Plus, the baseball team won a marathon of a contest to sweep a three-game series at Bard, and it's time to preview the Bates softball season. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. It was a heartbreaking Sweet 16 loss for the Bates women's basketball team Friday night as the Bobcats fell to Wartburg on a buzzer-beating layup by a score of 54-53. Following the tough loss, head coach Allison Montgomery and senior captain Morgan Kennedy spoke at the post-game press conference.
I think in the final play, like they scored a tough shot. I think, you know, I was just thinking a little bit in terms of, I'm sure I'll give a ton of thought to this, but just kind of like being out of timeouts there too, I think definitely had an impact. We made a decision to foul them. Like, I'm sure they probably would have called timeout anyway, but to foul them to kind of stop the play, just so that they didn't have an opportunity to be downhill in transition. And but I mean, I thought, you know, at the end of the day, they finished the play. There's, you know, a lot of time on the clock, so I knew it was going to be, you know, we were going to have to make a big play. They were going to go to the rim. So trying to find that balance of like really contesting and making a tough shot, but also not wanting to commit a foul in that situation where, you know, stakes are high and people are pretty amped up and going hard. I think that's a tough balance to strike defensively. You know, and again, they had, you know, almost 5 seconds. So I think she just finished a tough shot. She looked up at the rim. Our player kind of flew. She stepped through and, you know, finished a tough shot at the buzzer.
What was working well for your team? Obviously, you get off to a great start, up 11 early on.
Yeah.
What was working well early on, and then maybe what changed over the course of the game?
Yeah, I think, like, our tempo. I mean, we turned the ball over more than we typically do, which I think – definitely hurt us in terms of managing possession. But I thought, like, when we could get going in transition and really attack that way, I thought we had really good success offensively. I mean, that's been a key for us all year. They did a good job of, like, fronting the post. So I thought kind of in the half court as we were running our stuff, it definitely halted us a little bit, like moving the ball on the perimeter and trying to get those post touches. So that was definitely, you know, a good defensive strategy by them. So I think that halted us a little bit. In terms of getting the movement and flow on offense. So I think when we could find those runs in transition and really kind of moving the ball, we had good success. And when the ball kind of stalled on the perimeter, it was tougher for us to get good shots.
Was there something that they were doing on Elsa specifically that made things challenging? You said fronting her, giving her different looks in the paint.
Yeah.
Now they were mixing up their defense.
Yeah.
Is that challenging to deal with?
Yeah, I thought she did an incredible job, though. We really prepared a lot this week for her to be doubled and tripled, and she was. And she's a really good passer. I thought she did a really good job. I mean, she turned it over 2 times. She was 5 for 8. So I thought she did a really good job and made really good decisions with the ball. I can't really ask anything different there. I thought even with their strategy, like, she still had a big impact in the game, but it definitely kind of stalled what we were doing on the perimeter more.
Morgan, what was it like to see all the fans out who came down to support the team today? What was that atmosphere like for you and your teammates to see how much support you had in the building today?
It was amazing. We've been saying it all year. We always not only play for, like, each other, but we play for our community, and they show up for us. And it's just, Bates is such a special place, and Bates Athletics is such a special department. And yeah, like, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And I'm really grateful for everybody who took the time to come to our game today.
Can you take us through what this experience has been like for you in the NCAA tournament here and some of your favorite memories from this season?
The tournament's just been awesome. It's something that we set a goal for in the beginning of the season and we've worked towards. And so, honestly, like, me personally, I'm not surprised because we work so hard and I believe in my teammates so much and I believe in this program so much. So, like, I'm not surprised. And about this one thing that, like, I'm grateful for about the program is I don't know, like, the tournament was great, going to NESCAC and all that, that was great. But one thing that I'm most grateful for is being able to be a leader on this team. My teammates are why I play basketball, and I don't know, like, it's just being able to be a leader on this team is honestly, like, I don't care. I've never been a player to think about, like, awards or anything like that. I just, seeing the way that they look up to me and what I've been able to do for this team as a leader, from a leading standpoint, is just the most, the best thing I could ask for. I'm really grateful for the past 4 years.
Coach, what are you going to remember most about this group when you look back on this? I know it's tough in the moment.
Yeah.
What stands out to you about this group from this season?
All the, like, sport cliches that people use, this team maximized it. So, like, the 12 women on this team were, I mean, we have really talented players. We do, for sure. But the reason we're here and the reason they've had success is they are truly selfless and they're really committed to each other. And there's just a real genuine commitment to each other and what the values of our program are. And that's never wavered. And so I think, like Morgan said, I'm in no way surprised at the success that they've had because they've been so consistent for the whole year. But, you know, I just said to them to watch, like, girls come into our program and become women is really, really cool. And the way that they push each other to do that and the way that they, you know, support each other through failure as much as they do success, I think is, you know, what I'm proudest of. So all those things you're striving for as a coach in terms of things you're trying to get them to really commit to, like, everyone sets goals, everyone sets values, but actualizing them and committing to them is a whole other story, and to have every person on your roster do it, it's really, really unique. So I think, you know, obviously beyond the success on the court we've had this season, I think we've held on to that dynamic that we've been able to have this year, and for that reason I've wanted it to go as long as it could.
I know it's really difficult to do this, so thank you both for your
time. Yeah, really, no, appreciate it. Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
The Bobcats finished the season with a record of 24-6, the second most wins in program history. On Tuesday, Kennedy and sophomore Elsa Delario were named first team All-Region by D3Hoops.com, making both of them eligible for All-America honors, which will be unveiled later this week. While the women's basketball team was in Rhode Island, the men's track and field distance medley relay team of sophomore Ross Tejeda, junior Truman Williams, junior Calvin Capelli, and senior captain Ned Farrington were in Virginia competing at the NCAA Indoor Championships. The Bobcats entered the race seated 8th in the country, and they finished 4th, crossing the finish line in 9 minutes, 51.53 seconds. Farrington anchored the race, staging a dramatic comeback in the mile run as he passed 4 competitors in the final 100 meters. Well, Ned, anchor leg of the All-America Distance Medley Relay team, what I understand, it was pretty bunched together for most of the race. The final 600 meters were crazy, though. Take us through it from your perspective.
We'll just start from the beginning here. Yeah, you know, we were all corralled up near the start line, and me, Ross, Truman, and Calvin, we were about as nervous as we've ever been in our life. But you know, we were prepared for that. I think I told those guys a couple times, if we're super nervous, that's a good thing, because that means we care about this as much as we should. And you know what? Like, sometimes if you use the nerves in the right way, gives you some extra adrenaline, helps you run even faster. So yeah, we just, you know, carried that into the relay, and Ross ran super smart on that 1200 leg. Really, really mature from a runner like him who's only a sophomore. Yeah, he just sat around that fourth position, handed off the stick to Truman in about fifth place, and, you know, right in the pack, like only a second off of second place. And yeah, Truman was up against some so really big dudes from Wisconsin schools. I swear everyone out there was like 6'7".
Yeah.
It was crazy. And yeah, he held his own. It was really physical. He took some shoulders, and yeah, he ended up turning in a really good split, especially considering he had to you know, run a lot of it in lane two, fight for position, and he got a nice clean handoff to Calvin. Calvin ran his fastest 800 ever in that split. Stayed as calm as I've ever seen him. So, you know, he held his composure on the biggest stage, which is a really hard thing to do, especially when you've never been there before. And we had a nice clean handoff. I think the goal for us was just don't do anything fancy. Don't try to get a run into it. Just get the stick in my hand because it was so bunched up. If you mess around at all, that thing's getting knocked out and you're going to get DQ'd or lose some time. So we just got a nice clean handoff, and I was with a pack of about six guys. The first, second, and third team were kind of all off the front a bit, 2 or 3 seconds ahead of us. It was basically fighting for spots 4 through 9, and they went out so fast. I was so scared. I was like, if this is the pace we're running, I am a dead man. This is not going to happen. But I just kept telling myself to make it to 400 meters to go in the race, and you'll be fine. And yeah, sure enough, with 400 to go, it kind of felt like they were coming backwards. I was picking it up a little bit, but it wasn't anything crazy. I think they just kind of felt all that adrenaline come crashing down. And with about with a lap to go, I was in eighth place, and with 100 to go, I passed three kids, and then right before the line, some kid's legs gave out. He fell, and that made it so I was able to pass for fourth place. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, 100 meters. It's a sprint at that point, but it's a sprint when everyone's exhausted. So what's that? As that was happening, did it feel like almost slow motion as you were passing people, or how did that go from your perspective there?
Yeah, it was definitely felt a little bit slow motion. Yeah. I think people were applauding me for having a good last sprint, but I was telling them, I don't think I really sped up that much. I think they just slowed down a ton. And it definitely went really slow in my head, because it was like, okay, I just passed three people. Like, we're into fifth. I think we're safely All-American.
Yeah.
And then I watched this kid fall right in front of me, and I'm like, oh my God, like, please do not trip on him.
Right.
Get around. And yeah, just got over the line, and, at a national championship, like, every coach there that's in the team, the race for the team title, is looking for DQs. Oh. So I just got over the line, and I was like, I'm not going to react. I'm just going to, like, put the baton in the box, like, not do anything crazy, get off the track, make sure. Because I knew we did something great, so I was like, I'm not ruining this for something stupid. So, yeah.
So the kid is right in front of you and trips and falls or loses their footing or whatever happens. So do you literally have to swerve around them?
Yeah, I had to swerve around him a little bit. Thankfully, it was like the way he fell, he kind of like fell but then rolled into the infield. So okay. It wasn't super dangerous, but like, you know, it was one of those things where had I been a split second further up than I was, there was a chance I was going down with him. So thank God that didn't happen. Yeah.
And then I saw, you were fourth place, just barely ahead of MIT, which was really impressive. MIT was the top seed from the region, at least. So did you pass that guy at the last minute, or you had already passed him and you kind of held him off?
That was in the last 50 meters.
50 meters. Okay.
Yeah, you can see in the picture, he's like right on me. But yeah. I just like put in this little surge that we've kind of we do this thing in practice called that Coach Feldman calls turnarounds, which is after any like Wednesday workout, we do like 5 just all-out 7-second sprints. And that's something I think a lot of distance runners don't really work on, that top end sprint speed. And I think that kind of like helps me put that little surge in at the end that other runners can't do. Yeah.
Excellent. So, what does it mean to the team to, finish ahead of the team from MIT? Because, MIT is, kind of a big name. I'm not saying that Bates isn't, but, MIT kind of a big name in track and field. And to finish ahead of them is huge, right?
Yeah, they won cross-country nationals last year. They won the outdoor track and field championship last year. They were the top seed going into this weekend. They have, 10 or so athletes currently on their team that are top 10 in D3 all time. And we knew their team was really, really quality. So being able to get them at the end, that's just massive for Bates. Like, that puts us on the map, I think, especially with like recruiting too. I think it'll help when people see those results and say, hey, Bates is one of the best middle distance squads in the country. Yeah.
And for you personally, I mean, All-American in cross country and now also in indoor track and field in the same school year. I was going through the history books. That hasn't happened since the mid-90s. So what does that mean to you to achieve that?
Yeah, it means a lot. I mean, as soon as I did it in cross country, I was like, oh, I want to do it again. Yeah. To make it real, you know? But I think it's also just a testament to, Coach Fellman's ability to, you know, not be too risky with the training and keep, you know, just have faith in consistency. And like, he knows that if we just like stay healthy and we just are consistent with the way we're training and we don't overwork you, you're always going to be there when maybe other runners are taking risks and they're really good one season, but then the next they're injured or sick or whatever. And I think it's a testament to his ability to do that and to peak us for the big moments. It's, you know, sometimes we get a little frustrated because I think early on in the season we won't be racing as fast as maybe some other guys are. But then when it comes to the last few weeks, I mean, we always show up. So he's doing a perfect job with the peaking. Yeah.
Something you mentioned earlier, how you didn't really celebrate after you crossed the finish line because coaches are always looking for DQs. Could you elaborate a little bit on how that goes? Kind of, I mean, like, I guess so many little things could disqualify you, but what were you kind of thinking? Because I remember there was a big celebration after the Tufts race, but not so much here because you wanted to just be cautious.
Yeah, I was super paranoid. I heard some horror stories of, like, so apparently if you spike, like, some kids when they finish like a relay and they do well, they'll spike the baton.
Oh.
Which is like, you know, that's something like Rob Gronkowski would do with the football. Like, it's, right. it's a pretty like reasonable thing to do, but for whatever reason, our sport has decided they don't really like celebrating because it's unsportsmanlike. So You can throw your arms up when you cross the line, but you can't really do much more than that. I think even if you use any like profane language, there the officials will get, if they want to, they're allowed to disqualify you. And it would just be such a shameful way for us to get DQ'd. So I was just like, I was also worried about maybe accidentally walking into one of the teams that was still finishing by accident, getting in their way. So I was like, just get off the track.
Right.
Don't do anything. Like, get to your teammates, and then you can go crazy. So,
yeah. What was that moment like when you got to your teammates?
I think we were so nervous before that race. I think it was almost more relieving than it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just, like, hugging and just like, oh, my gosh. Like, we actually did it. Just smiling. And then when we got outside to do our cool down, that's when we all, like, just screamed. Like, we made a deal with the coaches beforehand. If we get All-American, you guys have to come on our cooldown run. So Coach Johnson and Coach Feldman were there, and Truman, who usually does a different cooldown.
Uh-huh.
We were all just going for a little run like the distance runners usually do. And, oh, my God, yeah, it was just like we were all ecstatic. It was a really wholesome moment that I'll cherish for a long time, yeah.
And then what was it like being on the podium there?
That was pretty fun, too. It takes them a really long time to get you up there. So
right.
We were just like, yeah, so much adrenaline, and I think it was starting to crash. But, it was really fun being up there, especially being fourth, too, not just, like, eighth. And talking to some of the guys from other schools, it was really fun. It's always fun to get to know guys from other schools, you know. Like, at the end of the day, we really want to beat them on the track, but afterward, it's like, we all go through the same stuff. We all love this stupid sport. So why not chat a little bit and get to know each other? So, yeah, it was fun.
And then what about the overall trip to, you know, to Virginia Beach? Had you ever been there before?
I'd never been to Virginia Beach. And, it was a really cool place. I think it being there actually helped us a lot because it was just like we just had a fun time. Like, we went to an aquarium the day before, hanging out in the hotel room, watching, comedy sketches together, like, you know, joking around with the coaches. Like, we kept it really fun and kind of acted more like we had something to gain in this meet rather than something to lose. Even though, like, we were seeded All-American, like, there was something to lose, but, like, you know, you can't go in acting like that. I think we were more just excited to go, and keeping it fun was, I think, what allowed us to perform over other teams that might have, not performed in the big moment.
You have a little time to enjoy this, but you have the outdoor season starting fairly soon, March 30th, right here at Bates. We're hosting the quad meet, late March outdoor meet. That'll be interesting. But tell me a little bit about your thoughts on outdoor season coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already, like, back to it, so I'm really excited. I think, things in outdoor usually get a pretty slow start just because of the weather.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, hopefully by late April I'll be running really fast, and I'd really like to get to the NCAA championships and you know, hopefully make it three All-Americans. We'll see. I think we have a handful of guys who are capable of making it, and I think we're, you know, good enough to be the runner-up NESCAC team at the NESCAC Championships. So that would be pretty phenomenal. You know, there's 11 teams in the NESCAC, and it's one of the most competitive conferences in really every sport. And, yeah, that would be the second-best finish in program history. So that's what we're hoping for.
Because you kind of got a taste of how you measure up at Indoor New England, right, with the NESCAC schools?
Yeah, exactly. So we got a third of NESCAC schools at Indoor New England. Mm-hmm. And things should only get better for us outdoor, actually, because you add the javelin and the discus and the hammer into things. So we're really good at those throws events. That's where a lot of our points are coming from. And then we also have the ten thousand meter, which we have some really quality athletes in as well. So, if anything, outdoor should only help us. So I'm hoping we can improve that third best in the NESCAC to second or maybe better. We'll see.
So for you personally, what events are you going to be focusing on?
1500 will be the main focus,
okay.
But I'll run up and down a distance as well. So I'll run some probably one or two 5000s and a few 800s. Just because, yeah, you want to work on. You know, making your top end speed a little faster with the 800 and then also making your aerobic strength a little better with the 5000. So, yeah.
There's no real relay for you in outdoor, though, is there?
Unfortunately, yeah. They have 4x800s
right.
at NESCACs in New England, but not at Nationals.
Okay.
So,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I'll definitely get in some 4x8s, though.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can take a NESCAC title in that and maybe a New England title as well. So, yeah, that'll be fun, but no national meet for that, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on this outstanding All-America performance there for the team there down at NCAAs in Virginia we haven't got to talk about?
Yeah, I just want to share how proud I am of Truman, Ross, and Calvin. I mean, I think, like, they're all three of them are really new to kind of competing at, like, big championships, and, like, they handled the pressure like absolute champs. I don't think I was – like that the first time I was in a big moment like that. So I just think it's insane that they were able to do that. Like, that, those are real athletes right there. Like, yeah, that's how you do it. So impressive.
Excellent. Yeah, and becoming the first men's DMR team to earn All-America honors for Bates since 2015. Ed Farrington anchored it there in the mile run. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
On the baseball diamond, the Bobcats swept Bard over the weekend in a 3-game series to improve to 6-3 on the young season. It was a rather strange series, with Game 2 of Saturday's doubleheader being suspended in the 5th inning and resuming the next day due to the weather. Then on Sunday, after the Bobcats finished off the doubleheader sweep, they took the field again for a normal, single, 9-inning contest that went 15 innings. Bates ended up winning 4-2 in the longest game innings-wise played by the Bobcats since 2006. Senior Jack Potash tossed 7 shutout innings out of the bullpen to get the win, and junior Brandon Begain smashed a solo home run in the top of the 15th for the eventual game-winning hit. Begain was named the NESCAC Baseball Player of the Week, and he and Potash joined the Bobcast to recap a true New York marathon. Well, the first thing I want to ask about this marathon game, Jack, is you had to pitch 7 innings out of the bullpen. Was this your longest outing as a Bobcat? Longest outing since high school? I mean, take us through the outing for you.
Yeah, I mean, so at Bates, I've definitely gotten used to obviously coming out of the pen and, you know, usually for no more than 3 innings. Last year at Coast Guard, I think I did 4 and a couple outs. So, yeah, as a Bobcat, this is definitely longest outing and I think probably longest since either Myrtle Beach my freshman summer or probably high school, yeah.
Gotcha. And so as it kept going and going, what was going kind of going through your mind each inning? You mentioned off air you were pretty locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so each inning I was going out there, I talked to a couple of teammates. I feel like the whole time we kind of felt like we were going to win. We were just waiting for that 1 or 2 runs to happen. So, I mean, every inning I was going out there, just, you know, got to collect my outs, make sure that I can get the boys, you know, back on the sticks and really just waiting. Each inning I thought, you know, this was going to be it, and then it was just one more. But yeah, just pretty much waiting until we got that run.
And then Brandon, when you got that run, it was you hitting the solo home run. It had actually been kind of a frustrating day, I think, for you at the plate up until that point, right? So what changed on that at bat to allow you to hit that one out of the park?
Oh yeah, it was a brutal day leading up to that. But yeah, you gotta flush it, move on to the next one. It's all about baseball's such a varying game where it's at-bat to at-bat, pitch to pitch. You got to make an adjustment. So made an adjustment late in the game, came through.
What did you see on the pitch?
Yeah, it was a hanging curveball, pretty slow. But, yeah, you got to stay inside. You got to do what you got to do, not do too much.
I was going to say, because when it's, you know, that slow and hanging like that, it can almost be like almost slow motion. I mean, you, how do you not overswing there trying to crush it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was the adjustment I made all game previous to that. It was that's what I was ended up doing, was overswinging. But then you gotta make an adjustment at the end.
So you started the game in right field and then moved to catcher. Now, that's got to be an interesting kind of thing to do, because you weren't expecting to do that, first of all, right? And then second of all, as a catcher, you're normally used to, you know, starting the game, getting your rapport with your pitcher. How do you do that mid-game kind of make that position switch?
Yeah, so it was all just about being a baseball player. You got to go out and compete in everything you do, and it doesn't matter where position you're going to play. You got to be ready to go. So that's really what it was, just a mindset that, hey, I'm ready for whatever situation they throw at me, I'm ready to go.
Innings-wise, 15 innings, the longest for Bates since 2006. You guys were, what, in preschool or something then? But, I mean, in terms of your baseball careers, have you played a game that long? Either one of you?
I mean, yeah, not since Little League. I think I had like a 17-inning game.
Okay.
That we had to start the next day. It got too dark. But, yeah, that's been the longest one for a while.
What about for you, Jack?
That was definitely the longest. I think longest before that was maybe 10 or 11 innings. Nothing like that before, yeah.
So what's it like in the dugout between innings in this type of a marathon?
I mean, everyone's just trying to stay upbeat, getting ready to go. Just kind of waiting for someone to smack double in the gap, step up. But yeah, it's just keeping the intensity up, keeping the energy up, ready to roll.
And what'd you feel kind of in the dugout after you were done pitching each inning, going back there and watching your team hit?
I mean, to be honest, for like 5 minutes after I get in, I just sit down and I kind of lock in a little bit. I zone out, definitely. I'm not really thinking of anything. I'm just focusing on making sure I'm staying under control and staying focused. So for me, honestly, for a little while, it's just, you know, catching my breath, you know, getting my composure, and then I'll lock in and help cheer the team on. But for a little while, it's just nothing for a little bit for me, yeah.
And you were so locked in, you didn't even realize there was a catcher switch. Is that what you told me?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when I went out there, I saw Brandon, he was calling signs, and I was throwing whatever he put down for me. I didn't even really realize until you mentioned it. I mean, obviously, it makes sense putting Ack out there. He made a couple great plays, so looking back at it now, it definitely makes sense. But at the time, I did not notice at all now.
It was kind of a weird series, because you had the doubleheader on Saturday, where game two, they had to suspend it because it was getting so rainy and so wet, and had to restart on Sunday. So, I mean, what was that like from your perspective? I mean, weather has been pretty bad, because I know John really likes to play through if possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty old school. We like to play through a lot of things. But, yeah, it was just getting to the point where people couldn't grip the ball. I mean, everyone wants to play through anything, just kind of get the game going. But that was definitely a first, restarting a game in the fifth. It was definitely a new experience for me. It was kind of cool. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because you start with runners on base and everything, right?
Yeah.
Where were you in that situation? You batted that inning, right?
Yeah, I was in the hole.
Yeah.
We had Keegan Ryan step up to the plate in a 1-0 count to start the game on a new day. It was kind of cool. But, yeah, I was in the hole, getting ready to go, just kind of keeping that same mindset rolling to the next day.
And just to toss it back to the Endicott game also midweek, that was like – I was watching that online. That was like – really foggy. I couldn't even see the outfield fence. I mean, what was it like to play in that fog?
Yeah, I mean, I was catching and I couldn't really see any of the outfielders at all. I don't know how they were seeing the ball. It was just super dense fog, and that's definitely a first as well, playing through that.
Yeah, and then Jack, as a senior, what's this group like, kind of? I mean, obviously you want to finish off your career on a high note, and so far so good, right? 6-3. What's this group like?
I mean, we're close. That's whenever someone asks me, I always say that we're a really close group of guys. You know, everyone's working hard. It's, you know, friendly competition. Everyone knows that, you know, that someone else is ready to step up if they're not doing. So it's kind of everyone's on each other to make sure everyone's performing. But, you know, I always just say that we're a close group of guys. The past couple of years, you know, everything we dealt with, we had COVID, we had a tough year after that. Building off of last year, it's just really close, good competition.
So you're 15th inning, Brandon hits the home run. What's your reaction in the dugout?
I wasn't even looking, to be honest. I heard the hit and everyone started cheering, so I stood up. But I was making sure my arm was warm.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, huge pressure off my shoulders there to get one run. Then we scratched another, so it was just huge relief. But, yeah.
What were some pivotal moments throughout your 7 innings, kind of, like, moments that stand out to you?
I mean, I had a couple big strikeouts. I was saying to Brandon, like, my slider that game wasn't biting as much as I would have liked, and I was leaving a little up. But we were able to, or I was able to, you know, kind of in those high leverage moments, able to slip one in there and get a little strikeout, you know, or get a kid to ground out. So some of those pitches were big for me.
Yeah, as his catcher for most of his outing, what was standing out to you, Brandon, about what he was able to do?
I mean, yeah, we were just executing for the most part. We were missing a couple spots, but then we'd come back the next pitch and be ready to roll. It's really just the adjustments made pitch to pitch that made the complete difference. It's not letting one at-bat completely destroy an inning. It's being ready for that next hitter and executing when we need to.
And now we have a trip to Arizona coming up. What are your thoughts on getting out there? And you're going to play one NESCAC team, Wesleyan, but a couple of different opponents, Carlton and Redlands as well. What are your thoughts on this trip to Arizona? Kind of a new type of trip for the baseball team going to the desert.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying to some of the other guys, in my mind, for me, I feel like the season almost doesn't really start until we play in the warm weather, you know, because we didn't get to go to Florida. Virginia was nice, but wasn't really the, you know, beautiful 90, 80-degree weather we were looking for. So in my head, it almost feels like we're building up to, you know, go down and play Arizona, play some good teams. It'll be fun to play Wesleyan, you know, a team that we don't really get to play in conference that often or ever, actually. So looking forward to do that, yeah.
Yeah, Wesleyan beating the other division in the NESCAC from the Bobcats. Brady, what are your thoughts on going west here?
I mean, yeah, it'll be a super cool trip. Definitely something I haven't done before. The warm weather should be nice, like Potty said. And it's not going to be as humid as Florida, which would be better. We're just kind of building up to it. And we're trying to see where we stand compared to other good teams in the nation. And that's kind of what the trip seems like for me.
Well, and you guys obviously mentioned the Endicott game. That you were right in that for most of it. I mean, what does that say about this team right now?
Yeah, it says we can compete with anybody. Anybody we step on the field against, we're going to be able to compete against. And that speaks for the volumes for the team and the players in general, that no matter where what your ranking is, we're ready to roll.
And now you were named NESCAC Baseball Player of the Week there. The offense did graduate some key players from last year. We've talked about them before, but you're one of the key returnees. So tell me a little bit about, you know, the returnees on offense, and maybe try not to put too much pressure on yourself, it sounds like, right, a little bit?
Yeah, we're just sharing the experience we gained last year with people who didn't get as many opportunities or even freshmen coming in. Mm-hmm. It's all about building together as a team, as a unit in the offense, and how we can work more efficiently together and execute in certain spots. And that's really what the key has been for coming back this year.
As a catcher, how are you developing relationships with some of the pitchers? I mean, you're familiar with them from last year, obviously some newcomers, but how do you develop relationships during practice and stuff? So you have chemistry during the game and everything.
I mean, yeah, practice is just seeing what different pitches look like for different pitchers, what they like to throw in certain situations throughout live ABs and building off of that. Also off the field stuff is big. Being able to develop a friendship off the field actually really translates well, I feel like, to on the field performance.
And Jack, after your 7 innings pitched there, are you thinking about maybe advocating for a starting role, or you think you're still going to be the closer?
I mean, I wanted to start a role when I got here, but yeah. I'm pretty content with closing now. I like it a lot. I enjoy it. It's a pleasure for me to go in and, you know, help someone close the game out. I like it a lot, yeah.
Because I imagine you started in high school. Mm-hmm. And so what was the transition like to the relieving role? Because obviously it's a very different type of thing, because you're not locked in from the beginning. You have to get locked in, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge for me, I think, at the start to try to get used to that. I was, used to, you know, locking in before the game and then kind of riding it out. But it was definitely a big change for me to, you know, in the middle of the game, like you said, like having to lock back in and kind of get ready on the fly. And that was also a big challenge, you know, because obviously you never know how the game's going to go and when I'm going to have to go in. So sometimes it's just, you know, minutes notice, got to get hot, got to go.
Well, it's interesting because normally as a reliever, one of the benefits is you're only going to pitch one or two innings, so you can go max effort. Mm-hmm. Here, when did you realize, wait a second, I need to treat this differently because I might have to go forever?
I mean, like I said, it was inning to inning. I would go out there in my head. I was like, I'm getting the boys back in. They're going to score a run. We'll close out next inning. So, I mean, I didn't really treat any differently. I just, in my head, I kind of convinced myself, you know, rode the adrenaline a little bit and just went inning to inning, yeah.
Were you pretty tired after the game? Or how are you feeling afterwards on the bus?
Yeah, I had a big sandwich. I'm just pretty dead. My arm's hanging a little bit right now. But in the moment, I was good. I was all fired up, yeah.
Brendan, how about you? I mean, coming in the middle of the game to catch like that, how are you feeling after the game?
I mean, yeah, the body just got to adapt. It's part of the season. Yeah. The highs and the lows, kind of grinding it out. Bumps and bruises don't really have an impact. Just got to play through it.
So what was the bus ride back kind of like then?
Very energetic. Everyone was super excited. Morale is definitely really high heading into Arizona, going the right direction.
And that's your home state, right? New York, where you're playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 40 minutes from home.
A lot of people there cheer on the Bobcats?
Yeah, a couple family members, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely good to see them again.
Yeah, so what was that like to hit that home run in front of your family and friends there, kind of?
It was super cool. My mom was there. Yeah. So, you know, you got to love the mom. She was super excited. Text me about it after the game, all that good stuff. So, yeah, it was really cool to do that for them.
Excellent. What are your thoughts, any of you wanted to share on the weekend series or what you're most looking forward to the rest of the year we haven't got to talk about yet, perhaps?
I mean, I'm just excited to play this group. You know, I think this is one of the stronger staffs we had in a while at Bates. You know, we only lost one pitcher last year, so we got a lot of good experience coming in here. And I'm just excited to see what everyone does. You know, a lot of people are eager, ready to step up, so just excited to see it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a super fun team to play for. I'm excited for the season. It's looking good. Hopefully we continue to roll throughout the year.
Bobcats leave for Arizona at 2 a.m. on Saturday. Jack Potash and Brandon Begain, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Bates softball team opens their season on Sunday down in Florida for the spring games, where Bates will play 10 games over the course of 6 days. Head coach Kat McKay begins her second year at the helm of the program after leading Bates to the NESCAC semifinals a year ago. You get your first look at your players in real competition, on dirt, on grass. What are you most looking forward to this trip?
We've got some tough teams coming up, but what I haven't seen from my team yet is how good we are. We haven't had any scrimmages. We've only been scrimmaging each other, you know, trying to stay healthy, trying to work through some things, learn things at practice. So honestly, I'm just excited to see how good we are on the field.
Well, last year the team went to the NESCAC semifinals, first ever win in the NESCAC tournament, kind of a historic moment, being the defending champions, Amherst. What was that moment kind of like for you, and then how much momentum does that carry over into this year, perhaps?
It was a little surreal. You know, every game that we had was a tight game. It, you know, one run here or there was the battle, you know, and we had to scratch it out. So taking that momentum and the returners feeling what we're capable of, I think, is what we're carrying into the season. But we're really young this year. And so those, you know, newbies that are coming in, they've got to get that sense of this is the expectation now.
Well, yeah, speaking of that, I mean, your captains, you've got Sarah Cook, Rachel Liazzos. Sarah's a junior, Rachel's a senior. But Ella Marr also captains a sophomore. So what's this leadership group like, and how, you know, obviously a lot of confidence, particularly perhaps in Ella being a sophomore and being one of the leaders.
These leaders are by example. They really work hard for me on the field. And then off the field, they are in the classroom getting their stuff done. They've been amazing. Rachel's our only senior this year, so I am really excited for her to just have a bang out year. Sarah is one of our two juniors, and then Ella, you know, she had a phenomenal year last year at shortstop, and I think that she's going to do the same this year.
Yeah, her defense was outstanding. I mean, some of those plays, I mean, you can't really teach that, right?
No, that's a gift right there.
And then tell us a little bit about your pitching staff. I know Delaney Rankin's back, a sophomore now, but tell us a little bit some about the pitchers we have this year.
Well, we're very youthful, and we're going to see some new faces on the mound. Obviously, we lost a few pitchers that were a part of the crew last year. So Delaney is going to be, you know, the head of our pitching staff, our ace. We're really looking forward to having her come back. She came back strong and ready to go, determined. We've got Belle, who is a freshman, coming in. Elizabeth, who's a freshman. And also, surprisingly, who's adding to our pitching staff this year. And I think that is going to be a shock for a lot of people is Ella.
Oh, interesting. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Not sure she's too excited to come out of the shortstop slot, but Ella has a pitching background, and it was kind of a need this year with what we lost. And we were kind of messing around at practice last year, and the girls go, "Hey, coach, did you know that Ella could pitch?" I said, "Nope." So they started showing off, and as soon as I saw it, my jaw dropped. And she is a natural. She is a natural, and she's very talented. Very excited to see what she does on the mound this year for us.
Well, then now you have a dedicated pitching coach this year also. Tell us about her.
Yeah, so Coach Green, she has a very decorated background. She graduated from UMO. She is wonderful. She just does all of our pitching staff, but she also does a mental game for our pitchers. She's been wonderful to work with our athletes to not only teach them spins and, you know, get them focused for the game, but also that mental piece that is so important for a pitcher.
One of your key hitters last year, Kenny Jones, as a first year, was all region, power threat kind of middle of the order, also did some catching for you as well. What's the next step kind of in her development?
She's got a year under her belt, so she knows, you know, what to expect this year. Mm-hmm. And I think pitchers are going to look to kind of throw around her a little bit. She hit so well last year. I think that last year was a new face for some of the pitchers, so they were giving her, you know, some good pitches, and she took advantage of that. This year, I think they're going to try to pitch around her a little bit because she is such a powerhouse at the plate. So she's going to have to learn how to be patient and look for her pitch, because I think they're not going to throw as many good pitches to her this year.
Gotcha. Well, you mentioned a very young team. What, you said one senior and two juniors, so everyone else is a sophomore or first year. So what's kind of your message to the team about what your expectations are, especially for some of the younger players, about what it's going to take to succeed, you know, in the NESCAC?
Well, I think for some of them, we always talk about how good the NESCAC is. You know, there's very talented teams here. they don't know what they're going to see yet. So we've been trying to talk about how good these teams are and how disciplined they are, and the fact that we can't make mistakes. We've got to play fundamental softball, always focus on that first out, then worry about the second one. If we don't get the first one, we're going to be in trouble. And so that's what we've been pounding, is just fundamental softball.
Well, then one thing, this was the case last year also, but it's all doubleheaders now, which was not the case a few years back. So what are your thoughts on the all doubleheader type schedule you have?
Honestly, I love it. Mm-hmm. The last conference I came from, that's how we played. Mm-hmm. I like the opportunity that, you know, you look for that split or you look for the sweep. And you'd never want to get swept. So I think by that third game with the three-game series, you know, you kind of already showed all your tricks, you know, and so that third game is real tough. So, but if you have a two-game series against somebody, you got a shot.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you want to share about your team this year we haven't got to talk about yet?
I'm just really excited for my squad. You know, they are so youthful. They are so invested. They'll run through a wall for me this year. They have put time in the weight room, time outside of practice to just, you know, focus on their craft. I'm so excited to work with this group, and I think they're talented, and I really hope that they show that this year.
In other Bates Athletics news this week, the skiing teams combined to finish 22nd in the country in Colorado at the NCAA Championships, with first-year alpine skier Juliet Hoder scoring points in the slalom for Bates thanks to a 25th-place finish under the lights Friday night. Three Bates squash players compete at the College Squash Association Individual Championships, with senior captain Andy Martagon advancing to the quarterfinals of her bracket, and junior captain Alec Spiro winning the consolation final of his bracket. Meanwhile, men's lacrosse suffered a heartbreaking 15-14 loss to Williams on Saturday, but the Bobcats looked much improved from a year ago. Keep an eye out for them as the season moves along. Check out GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest Bates Athletics news, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.